Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Oh. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95BFM?
This is Connor, guitarist for Fontaines DC. Spoke to him in Dublin a couple of weeks ago. Fontaines DC have sort of had a fairly meteoric rise. Put out two records in the last 3 years. They've got a brand new one out called A Hero's Death. Fantastic records.
Is that one of the two records?
Yeah, the most recent one.
Also, how did you get to Dublin? Sneaky little sneak. Snuck out, didn't you? Took him about 6 months, but he got there through the COVID. So.
Connor, you play guitar for Fontaines DC?
I do. Try.
Try? Because you guys have only been a band since 2017, which isn't all that long ago. Had you been playing guitar for quite a while before you joined Fontaines DC?
Yeah, I'm 26, and I've been playing probably since I was 10, but it's kind of one of those things where I was glad I learned when I was so young, because I kind of didn't need it or didn't value it at the time. And then whenever you start becoming, you know, an emotional teenager, and playing guitar seems to come in handy then. So the skill kind of fell dormant for a while, and then whenever I wanted to use it, maybe when I was about 15 or 16, me and a few of my friends started a band, and then just kind of took it from there.
Was it something that your parents passed in your direction, the guitar, and you picked it up? Was
no,
it something?
Complete opposite. There's no one in my family, either side, that has any sort of musical background. I was the first one, and I think that might have been the reason why it was so appealing to me, because it was just something a bit different, and felt that, you know, stereotypical rebellious sort of stuff that every sort of teenager feels.
What sort of stuff were you listening to as a teenager?
Listen of like indie bands from the early 2000s, like the Vines and the Vines and Arctic Monkeys and Gorillaz, and just kind of anything I got my hands on. I didn't really know whatever I can listen to off the radio and stuff is just stuff that I liked. It wasn't until I was a bit older that I met like the lads in the band that kind of really like showed me, you know, the likes of like the Rolling Stones and like the Beatles and stuff like that. Before that, I didn't really have anyone to educate me on that stuff. So
yes, I watched a short documentary about the making of Doggerel. Were you the one that was the dance music fan?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It just kind of happened that a group of friends that I was friends with whenever I moved to Dublin just happened to be big into that kind of stuff.
And
I always felt like kind of an outsider to that kind of stuff, but it was a real scene in Dublin at the time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's always kind of good to have a foot in as many camps as you can, especially when it comes to music, because a good song is a good song. And, you know, like at least you've probably got a good grip on a good hook or good riffs and dance music, which, you know, does feed into all sorts of music and the creative process.
Exactly. And I think being able to talk to people that can appreciate any sort of music is really refreshing, because like I think it's really tiring to meet, you know, like the diehard fucking mod
or
the purists, you know. It's like if you mention anything else to them, they won't even try and give it a go, because it's not their thing. I think like that sort of you know, having like a specialist view on music taste is just so just narrows your options in life, you know. Having favorites narrows your options.
Now I was just curious. Fontaines DC came together in about 2017. You released Doggerel last year to huge acclaim. Has it felt like a wild ride the last couple of years? Did it feel like momentum just sort of suddenly ramped up?
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. Like a wild ride is a pretty good way to put it. I mean, kind of just, you know, incrementally you become very comfortable in the fact that, you know, you finally made your living out of making music, but then also it has all these exterior kind of you know, extremes of like, oh yeah, we're gonna play Glastonbury, and then it's like, oh, Sam Fender dropped out there, so we're gonna play the John Peel stage. It's like, oh, it's like 10,000 people in a tent. It's like, oh, okay. And you just have to kind of deal with this stuff as it comes at you. And I don't know.
Is there pressure playing in front of a larger crowd, in front of 10,000 people? Is that intimidating?
Not really, no. Like, I don't really feel nervous playing with the lads, because I kind of think that whenever it's the five of us on stage, then that's what the show is going to be. And I've played so many shows with them at this stage, like, and it's never seemed to like fall through. It seems to be if there's the five of us on the stage, then it's going to be something that people will enjoy. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just like, I think there is pressures, like what everyone says, like you need to feel somewhat nervous, but I don't think I feel nervous. I don't know.
Now, sort of getting catapulted into a relatively hectic touring schedule following your initial success, how would you describe life on the road, and what sort of impact does a heavy touring schedule have on a band?
Heavy touring is monotonous. Travel-wise, can be incredibly interesting and diverse if you're able to enjoy each of the places that you go to. Mm-hmm. If you're that kind of person, I feel like it's very easy to kind of slip into the track of just like having too many beers, you know, sleeping all day, playing the show, you know, and keeping going like that. Whereas I feel like being able to get up early, you know, go walk around the city that you're in, that really helps. Mm-hmm. And in terms of us as a band, you know, it's very easy to kind of, you have to start developing tools to be able to, you know, be around each other every day like that for months upon months, because, mm-hmm. you know, there's some bits of friendship that you kind of have to try, because like parts of being a friend or, you know, being separate from each other for at least a couple of days, and, you know, finding out something or learning something and coming back into the group and meeting up again and being able to talk about it. Whereas when you're with each other every day, it's like very hard to share progression as friends. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're just both at each other's wits end with each other. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you kind of have to learn to switch off a bit of friendship. And I think we've got a lot of that back now that we've kind of settled into a lot more of a normal kind of relationship. You know, we practice every couple of days and, you know, we're being a lot more normal, like socially, you know, mm-hmm. have a few cans every now and again. But it's nice to kind of remind ourselves what we were like before we started just touring all the time. We know that it's not personal. It's just kind of the way you need to do it to survive.
As a group, was there a conscious sort of decision to go, hey, look, we're on the road, there's the option there to party pretty hard. We need to be mindful of the partying and, you know, just focus on the travel and the playing?
No, I don't think, I think, to be honest, man, can I speak for the rest of the lads with real admiration that they definitely all have really good heads on their shoulders, you know, and it's not something that ever needed really to be said, you know. I think we all have enough ambition that maybe we wouldn't openly admit that we wouldn't try and fuck up what we're trying to do, you know.
Yeah, totally.
We want to be perceived as a really good live band, and mm-hmm. that's just how we are. Like,
now I saw that you played a tour of the USA with Idols. How big was that tour? How many nights did you share the stage with them?
I think we did I think it was 3 weeks. And that was amazing, you know. It was really cool to meet them, those guys, and share that time with them and get to know them a lot better. And yeah, man, like they're very inspiring, man. They're like, as I said before about being like hardworking or whatever, like they're definitely like the archetype for that kind of band right now, you know. They're just like killing it across the board, releasing music all the time, you know, have like a whole industry of merchandise, you know what I mean? Those guys are just they're killing it.
I saw them play down here at the beginning of 2019, and it was like a Sunday night, or a Sunday or Monday night, and it was incredible to see the amount of energy and how much fun they were having when they played.
Yeah, and they'll do it every night for whatever, any amount of tour, and they're incredibly focused individuals, and hopefully, I'd love to go on tour with them again sometime, you know. They're just nice people.
Fontaines DC.
Snowman car. tricks like a newborn gangster. You need not be born wealthy if you can't.
Second part of the Fontaines DC interview with Connor Curley, the guitarist. Now, you've got a brand new record which is on the way, A Hero's Death.
10 days, I think, isn't it? It's close, 10 days to be
now. 10 days, very soon. Now, tell me about the process for writing and recording the album.
For writing the album, we wrote it last year whenever we were touring so extensively. We kind of saw our futures, knowing that we had already been playing the Doggo songs for so long, and the record was just out, that it looked like we were going to be touring for another 2 years, just playing the same songs, and like that would have been so catastrophic for us as creatives, you know. So we knew we needed to write a new record just to keep playing live interesting for us, and then keep it interesting for other people, because like, the size of the venues are moving up so much, and we still only had the same songs to play to people, but the tickets are going up, then like, that doesn't really seem very fair. So we kind of put the pressure on ourselves to write that new record, and we knew that we had it in us. We wanted to prove that we had it in us, that, you know, it wasn't just the fact that we were going through such a, you know, a time of a forming time whenever we were in Dublin. We wrote this album about being in Dublin. We wanted to be able to prove that we were just songwriters that could write an album about whatever was going on in our lives at the time. So that's why most of the themes on the new album are kind of of isolation and that kind of reflection on the road of, you know, being around so many people every night, but also just feeling very alone because there's not a lot of people who are going through the same thing that you're going through.
Did you record an initial version of the album in Los Angeles?
We did, yeah. That was the first band for the album. It kind of came from the original idea we had for the songs being like a very dark, twisted Beach Boys. And I think we kind of had that at the start, and the songs didn't really end up being like that. And we wrote a lot of demos like we recorded the demo, like the first demos for the album. We thought they were amazing, and then we went to record them, and some of the ideas on some of the songs just kind of went a bit different to how we imagined, and we kind of forgot what the real spirit of some of the songs were, and we just needed someone who understood us, and that's why I went back to Dan Carey, who did the first one, and he really understands where we're coming from, maybe more so than we do sometimes, and he's really good at communicating with us, which I think is just the most important thing when you have a producer, is that they're able to talk to you in a way that you understand. And you know, credit Nick Lanay, who we worked with in LA, is an absolutely amazing producer, and the record that would have come out would have been amazing. It just wasn't where we wanted to go, you know.
Did you record at Dan Carey's studio in London? Have both albums been recorded in the same place?
Same studio, pretty much the same way, you know, same amps. And we just played live and, you know, recorded to tape. Yeah, we just had like all the amps in a line and like the bass amp in front of the kick drum, which is like a really weird thing, but like it's kind of just a nerdy thing of recording. But, yeah.
Now, obviously, we're sort of in the midst of a global pandemic, which is kind of a bit crummy, but you do have some dates in Europe teed up. You're going to go and play Levitation in France in September. Are you excited to play that festival?
I'm definitely am excited. I think it's crazy that it's going ahead, you know? I really didn't think we'd be playing any gigs throughout the course of this year, like, and I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with the news in France. Like, I don't know how they're doing there, but yeah, it seems like a bit of a mad thing to do. And I just hope that, you know, doing stuff like this, bands doing stuff like this, doesn't put people in danger. You know what I mean?
Of course.
I'm pretty hesitant, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
it'd be great to play there.
Of course. I mean, Levitation and sort of the Austin Psych Fest thing have got such a great reputation, and it's one of the sort of festivals that I would be very tempted to head along to at some point in my
lifetime. Man, definitely. I mean, like, that's what the whole scene, like Black Angels and stuff in Austin, like they're like one of my favorite bands of all time, and they're signed to Partisan as well, which is such a dream. Whenever I got to meet a few of them one time, like, they're fucking seriously good.
I mean, aside from some tentative touring dates, what have you got on the cards for the next few months following the release of the album?
I'm just gonna live my life, man, you know. I'm gonna live my life with my fiance and try to do some traveling if there's any traveling going, like whenever it seems safe to do so. And I'm just gonna write music, try and learn something. Like, I really want to try and start working with like strings more so, just try and develop different styles of making music, and just enjoying doing that on my time off. And so I know whenever it comes to really hectic touring, I find it really hard to kind of like develop any sort of songwriting. It kind of just stays the same because I'm so busy all the time. But other than that, I'm just read loads.
Any great books you've read recently, or any sort of music that you're massively vibing on?
I'm reading a book of three plays by Sean O'Casey. He's an Irish writer, and the one I'm reading at the moment is called Shadow of a Gunman. It's a really good kind of Republican / anti-Republican play. But and then music wise I'm just listening to a band called Broadcast Loads, especially an album called Tender Buttons.
Nice. Hey, I reckon I've got enough there, but I was wondering if you would be able to do a couple of voice IDs for the radio station?
Yeah, man, sure.
I just read an interview with you guys, with someone from the band a bit earlier, and they were like, they were talking about being on the gargle?
Yeah.
Could you just be like, hey, this is Connor from Fontaines DC, and you're on the gargle with 95 BFM? Is that okay?
Yeah. Hey, it's Connor from Fontaines, DC, and I'm on the gargle with 95BDFM.
Sweet, mate. Cool, man. Thank you so much.
You know what
much.
Being on the gargle means?
On the gargle is like on the piss, right?
Yeah, okay. Just okay, cool. We'll be right back.
televised mine. That's a televised mine. That's a televised mine. That's a televised mine. Swipe your thoughts from Broadway. Certain ideas to cabaret. What are dreams of yesterday? Far behind. Are your laughter pissed away? Are your sadness pissed away? Now you don't care what they say. Nor do I. That's a televised mind. 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 That's a televised mind.
Connor Curley from Fontaines DC. Certainly would love to see that band live. Check out their brand new album, A Hero's Dear.
Ding! That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.